Now, we thank you for the anointing that we sensed during communion, during our worship time. We claim that that same anointing will spill right on over into our study. Lord, we don't see any disjointed part of the service. It all flows together by the same Spirit. I want everyone to say this out loud. Holy Spirit, I open my heart to your teaching ministry. Challenge my life. Change my life by the power of the Word. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want you to write this title down. We're in the middle of a series entitled Making Right Choices. Making Right Choices. And today, the particular subtitle of today is Walking in God's Wisdom. Walking in God's Wisdom. I want to go back to a verse that has really become the key verse, the keynote verse of this study. And that's found in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Moses says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Verse 19, that I have set before you life and death. Everyone say life and death. Now, we spent a lot of time on this, and if you haven't, if you weren't able to be with us, get the tapes. But we said this, and it bears repeating, that every one of us have in front of us choices to make. And those choices will either take us on a path of life and blessing, or those choices will take us on a path the Bible calls death and curses. Verse 19, I'll call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And please circle this in your Bible. Therefore, choose life. He said, so you have the ability, hear me now, you have the ability to set your own path. You say, well, my daddy was an alcoholic. I know exactly what that was like because my daddy was an alcoholic. But guess what? I made different choices. To the extent that finally I led my daddy to the Lord and he walked with Jesus for 20 years. Amen. You say, well, my parents were divorced. Well, I know exactly about that because my parents were divorced. And guess what? I made new choices because my choices were going to take me down a path of life and blessing, not death and curses. You say, well, there's things that have happened in my life already that, you know, I'm embarrassed about or I'm ashamed of. Listen, you can start making choices today that will put you on the path of God's blessing and God's life. You don't have to let someone else, a generational influence, direct your life. You don't even have to let your past direct your life. If you don't like where you are today, then start making new choices, and guess what? It'll take you down a new path. Well, I'm about to preach myself happy. I believe it's going to get over on you, too. Look at verse 19. Mark it. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. So, you know, it's simple. It seems simple, but we made this point, and that is that your choices have consequences. And a lot of people, they just go through life randomly, you know, making decisions, and then they wonder why they get what they get in life. Listen, your decisions and your choices set in motion a domino effect which brings to you consequences. The good news is God says you can choose life. I want everybody to say this out loud. I have the ability to choose my path. I have the ability to choose life and blessing. How many of you want that? I know you do. That's why you're here. So there's life and blessing. There's door A and there's door B. There's death and cursing. If you don't like where you are today, start making new choices based on God's Word. If you don't like your finances today, make some new choices. You say, I don't really like the neighborhood I live in. Start making new choices. Well, I don't like myself sometimes. Start making new choices. Because as you make choices, God will honor you. Look at verse 19 again. Heaven and earth, the powers of heaven and earth, will fly into motion to honor the choices that you make. Now, quickly, by way of review, look back in your notes, or if you weren't with us, start writing really quick. Shorthand. I gave you five keys for decision making. Somebody help me preach. Look back in your notes. The first one was what? What's the first key for decision making? Delight yourself in the Lord. So in other words, put God first. Get focused on God. If you want to make right choices in your life, you've got to start there. And that is, I'm going to put God first and delight in the Lord. Number two, the second step was what? Commit to God. So you've got a decision to make verbally. I do this verbally out loud because sometimes your mind plays tricks on you. Am I just thinking that or am I just praying that? What am I doing? I hear a lot of voices sometimes in my mind, in my thought life. So just out loud, I'll commit it to God. I'll say, Lord, I've got a decision to make in the ministry about this or that. Or, Lord, you know, I don't know what to do regarding my children in this decision. Lord, I commit that to you right now. I verbally say that. I commit that to you. Number three, we said to pursue counsel. Why reinvent the wheel? You know, if you're starting a new business, talk to somebody who's successful in it. Don't go talk to a loser. Amen. I don't know why people, you know, they're about to go bankrupt, so they go talk to somebody who's just gone bankrupt. That's not going to help you. You need to pursue counsel of the godly and of the successful. Number four, we spent most of our time last week on this one. What was number four? Pray in the Spirit. And number five, and here's where we want to spend all of our time this session and then next week, walk in God's wisdom. Walk in God's wisdom. Now with that review, let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. We want to talk about how do you walk in God's wisdom. What is this thing called God's wisdom? And how will it help you in your life? Listen, if you want to start making the kind of choices that will give you God's life and God's blessing, you're going to have wisdom that's beyond your own. And that's called God's wisdom. How important is God's wisdom? I want you to write this in your notes, just kind of draw a line, and I'm transitioning now. Proverbs 4, beginning with verse 1, tells us that wisdom, write this down, wisdom is the principal thing. Everybody say the principal thing. Now, folks, if God says something's the main deal, don't you think you ought to get hold of that? I mean, if God Almighty says, let me just tell you something, wisdom is the principal thing. Well, then I think we ought to spend a little time on it. Because He's already telling us and forewarning us of what is priority. Verse 1. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. Hear, you children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake you not my law. For I was my father's son. Now, who's writing here? Everybody say Solomon. So Solomon is reflecting back on who is Solomon's father? David. He's saying, David taught me in the way of wisdom. And now I'm wanting to pass on the tricks of the trade, so to speak. I want to help you find success too. Verse 3, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Now I want you to put a mark by verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. Those are extremely important verses. Verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding. Could we say that? Get wisdom, get understanding. Forsake it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not. Now the her there, wisdom is being personified as a woman here. And you got to understand the writer is a guy. And so he's saying just like a very attractive woman, wisdom should be attracting us. Now ladies, you'll have to flip that process around. But he's saying there, calling wisdom a her. Verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding, forsake it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Now underline this in verse 7. Put a star by it. Get your yellow marker. Do something with verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get what? Wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Now I cannot emphasize that enough. God did not say wisdom is the second thing. I don't care what translation you're reading out of, unless it's the perverted version. It says wisdom is the principal thing. Let me give you the Jason Peebles paraphrase. Wisdom is the main deal. Wisdom is number one. Wisdom is it. Wisdom is the top of the heap. Wisdom is where everything starts. Wisdom is the key of all keys. Wisdom is the mother of all keys. You might have a lot of other good insights and a lot of other good things that you can find in the Bible, but wisdom is the principal thing. Now watch this. A lot of people in the church world have knowledge, don't they? I cannot tell you how many people I've met that can quote scriptures maybe better than I can. But when you look at their life isn't working. Their marriage isn't working. Their finances aren't working. They can't get along with anybody. I mean, they're always mad at somebody. But yet they can quote scriptures. Let me tell you something. There's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. Are you there? And we're going to be talking about this. Certainly we need knowledge. Knowledge is the accumulation of facts. But mere knowledge doesn't mean it's going to work. It's like when I was learning to fly an airplane. The first thing they take you to is something called ground school. What is ground school? It's where you sit on the ground and you go to school. And you learn the principles of flight. They call it aerodynamics. They explain lift and drag and gravity and the airfoil on the wing. They begin to talk about stalls, airspeed. They begin to explain the theory to you. You need that, but that doesn't mean you're qualified to go get an airplane and take it off. If you do, you're going to go see Jesus quicker than you wanted to. And there's a lot of people like that. There's a lot of people like that that can tell you all the theory, but it's not working in their life in the church world. In fact, I'm going to make a statement that I don't think it's an overstatement. I would say the majority of Christians fall into that category. I'm talking about good Christians that are going to go to heaven, but they're miserable now. How many of you know we're going to go to heaven, but we should start enjoying our salvation now?
Amen.
Amen. Start enjoying our salvation now. But Solomon here says, he says in verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Now look what wisdom will do for you. Verse 8. Exalt her and she shall what? That was three of you. Exalt her and she shall what? Promote thee. How many of you would like some promotion in your life? How many of you would like to advance in your life? Then what do you need? You need what?
Wisdom.
Exalt her and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor. How many of you would like to be honored? Respected. A person of significant influence in the lives of others. A force for blessing. A force that lifts people up instead of pushes people down. Then you have to have what? Wisdom. Verse 9, she shall give to thy head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. I want you to underline that. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Well, who wears a crown? I'll tell you who wears a crown. A king and a queen. Those who are ruling. How many of you like to be the ruler instead of the ruled? Instead of your problems always dominating you, how many would you like to dominate your problems? Well, then you're going to have what? Because wisdom gives you the crown. Verse 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. How many of you like to have many years in your life? How many of you want to end your life today? If you do, we'll have an altar call. We'll be ministering to you. How many of you want a long life? I heard one guy say, he says, every day above ground is a good day. Hallelujah. That's true. If you've got breath in your body, there's hope. Well, it says right there, look at it again, verse 10, it says the years of thy life shall be many. If you want that, you got to have what? So the implication is, watch this, if you violate wisdom, let's flip it around, if you violate wisdom, and we'll be putting a definition to that. If you violate God's way, just flip everything around. You won't have promotion, you'll have demotion. You won't have honor, you'll have dishonor. You won't have many years in your life. Your years will be cut short, and the ones you have will be miserable. And so wisdom is the key. Verse 11. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be strained. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. How many of you want to run sure-footed and not stumble in life? Then you have to have what? Verse 13, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she, underline this, she is thy life. She is thy life. Now, let me show you another passage that relates to this. Go to chapter 24, Proverbs 24. I would venture to say that what I'm going to teach today and next Sunday, are you listening? What pastor is teaching today and next Sunday are two of the most important sessions I've taught in this house. And if you will get hold of it, you may not understand every in and out of it, but if you will get hold of the idea that wisdom is the principal thing and wisdom is your ticket to the life of blessing and the life of life. So the life of misery, a life of life, God's life. Wisdom is the key, then I am telling you what, you will be so far ahead of most people in this world. Because most people in this world just go through life reacting to life, responding to whatever comes their way, and they're not really walking in the wisdom of God. They're eating of consequences that they don't like, and they're mad at everybody else, and they wonder, why is this happening to me? Wisdom. Proverbs 24, and let's go to verse 3. Through wisdom is a what built? Now, may I just say this? He's not necessarily talking about a physical house, though I want to live in a house that had a plan to it, don't you? I don't want to just go buy a house that somebody said we were just led on where to put the boards. That's called a tree house. I want to go to a house that had a blueprint, had some forethought to it, had some understanding, had some engineering to it, some preparation and planning. But beyond your natural house, may I just say this, your life is a house. So he's talking about your life being built. And some people's life looks like a treehouse. Better move on. Verse 3. Through wisdom is a house built, and by understanding it is established. Verse 4. By knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong. Underline that. A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety. So we begin to see that wisdom is the main thing. Now I'm going to say some things here that I am intending this to have a little shock effect, okay? So don't get mad at me and run out the door before you listen to the rest of it. Kind of like, you know, Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. He did not say signs and wonders are the principal thing. He did not say miracles are the principal thing. He did not even say experiences in God are the principal thing. He did not say the gifts of the Holy Spirit are the principal thing. He said wisdom is the principal thing. Got awfully quiet. Well, Pastor, don't you believe in signs and wonders and miracles? And don't you believe in the gift? Certainly we do. But you know what? I've seen people that seem to go from miracle to miracle, bailout to bailout, rescue to rescue. And God wants to help you, but God wants you to go from, write this down, situational wisdom to the spirit of wisdom. I want you to write that down. God wants you to move beyond what we might call situational wisdom. That is, you get that problem fixed right then. Man, Lord, I'm in a jam. Help me, God. Now, we've all prayed those prayers, and I've been included. And God has answered. In His grace, God will answer you when your back is against the wall. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But the problem is, people will always stay immature, going from bailout to bailout, rescue to rescue, and they never get over to the spirit of wisdom. Now, I want you to write that in your notes, and I want you to circle that and somehow indicate that, that is to be your goal. See, my goal is not to just bail people out through ministry. And I realize we have altar calls and people get rescued and get ministered to. And those are important times. But it is probably as much or more important to move them from a situational miracle mentality to I can begin to make choices in my life that are based on God's wisdom so that I'm not just going from crisis to crisis. I'm now learning to live on a path called life and blessing. It's like the old saying, you know, you can feed somebody, but you teach them how to fish and they can feed themselves. It's the same idea. And I see people a lot of times, they just don't have wisdom. Pastor, would you pull with me in prayer, and would you pray for me that I could get prosperous in the Lord? Yes, I'll pray with you. Let's pray. God, we just thank you right now. We get it. You know, we start getting it in prayer. Start claiming it. Well, we claim Deuteronomy 28. We claim the blessings of Abraham, and I want you to go home and start claiming that. He comes back a week later. Pastor, it's not working. Why is it not working? I've been praying for prosperity, and it hadn't happened. All I've been getting is job offers this week. That's all that's been coming my way. Hello, knock you upside the head. Somebody say, help him, Jesus. Are you hearing me? It's like, oh God, prosper me, prosper me. God is a very practical God that He wants to show you what to do, a path to get on, step by step. He didn't just say, invade the promised land. He said, Jericho, Ai, step by step, I will walk you in there. I want to give you three definitions, and you'll see these all through the book of Proverbs, these three words. In fact, let me give you the three words all at the same time, and then I'll give you a definition of each. You'll see the word knowledge. All through Proverbs, it says that you need knowledge. You'll see the term understanding. Understanding, with all that getting, get understanding. But the key, as we said, the principal thing, is the third word, wisdom. Now let me give you a definition for each of these, and this will help you to understand where God wants to take you. All right, let me give you a definition for knowledge. Knowledge is the accumulation of facts. So when Proverbs talks about knowledge, I believe it's referring to accumulating the facts of God. How does that come? By studying the Bible. Are you listening? It comes by studying the Bible. As you study the Bible, you accumulate God's knowledge and you understand the promises and the facts that, hey, Christ suffered for me, so I don't have to suffer. The things that Jesus took, I don't have to take. I don't have to take my sin because He took my sin. I don't have to pay the price. Whatever Jesus died to redeem me from, I don't have to take that. Somebody say amen. Now that was worth coming to church for just to hear that. So knowledge is the accumulation of facts. But you know what? As I said earlier, you can have a lot of facts and still not be able to be effective in life. So you need to go from knowledge to understanding. What is understanding? Write this definition down. The ability to arrange the facts as related to your situation. So understanding is the ability to arrange the facts as related to your situation. And you see this a lot of time with young people that, you know, they're into the dating game. And they can quote you that verse. Well, I know the Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. They got the knowledge, but they don't know how to relate that fact to their situation. Well, how is it then that you're dating, you know, a young lady or a young man who they're not walking with God, they're not hungry for God, they want to go to church, you're dragging them around everywhere you go, they're complaining. They'd rather, you know, go to the parties and go live that kind of life. Why are you doing that? See, they haven't gone from the fact to relating the fact to their situation. And beyond relating the fact to their situation, write this definition down for wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. See, that's the principal thing. Wisdom is the application of God's principles to your situation. It's the actual follow-through. It's the application of God's principle. So what would the application be? The application would be for that young lady to go to the guy and say, you know, it has really become apparent to me that you're not hungry after God like I am. And God's first in my life, and so I'm breaking it off. You're breaking it off. Some kind of Christian you are. You know, they always throw that at you. Some kind of Christian you are to hurt me like that. You stand your ground. You don't have to quote verses at them, but you begin to explain to them, you know, it's not going to work because I have a different worldview than you do. I have different goals. I want a family. I want children that are raised in God. So we're kidding ourselves. It's not going to work. As much as it may hurt, you've gone from the accumulation of facts to the relating the facts to your situation to now the application. You've followed through. And guess what? It's going to save you a heap of hurt. It will save you a heap of hurt. You may be hurt now. You don't know what hurt is until you've tried to live with somebody 20 years that you don't like. You talk about hell. That's hell on earth. So you think you're hurt now? You just wait. You go violate God's principles on that one, and you'll find out what hurt is all about. Well, I'll just get a divorce. You know, once children come along and stuff, there's no such thing as just forever you're done with it. And I realize we have people in this congregation who've been divorced. But you know what? I bet you would never wish that on your children. And we understand God will pick you up where you are, and God will love you, and God will help you work through that. We know that. God doesn't hate divorced people. God loves everybody. But God understands there's hurt involved. There's generational influences involved. I have never talked to one person who's been through the hurt of a divorce that would wish that on anybody. Anybody. Why? If they had gone with the principles of God in the beginning, they could have avoided that. So we want to go from situational wisdom to the spirit of wisdom. What will happen if we have people that walk in the spirit of wisdom? Listen, what would we have if the church world would rise up and go say, principle number one is wisdom. I'm going to take the facts and I'm going to do the follow through until I obey God and apply those facts as related to my situation, even when my flesh doesn't like it. Everybody say, uh-oh. He's just gone from teaching to preaching. Hallelujah. So when the Bible talks about money and honoring God with your money and honoring with first fruits and your flesh don't want to give, well, you know, 10%. I mean, you know, I'm delivered from the Old Testament stuff and all that. And, you know, you start wiggling out of it. Then all of a sudden you don't have the consequences in your life that you would like. It's because you didn't have a heart to follow through. You had the facts. God says, I want you to follow through. So we've looked at the relationship. We've looked at money. You could just go right down the list. I tell you, God's Word has promises and facts related to every aspect of life. Spirit, mind and emotions, your physical, your social life, your financial life. the kind of partnerships you should enter into and not enter into. The Bible's word is very clear. Why? Because He wants you successful. Now go with me to Proverbs 13, and in your notes I want you to maybe draw a line. I'm shifting gears again, and I want to look at the benefits of wisdom. The benefits. Everybody say the benefits. We've touched on it a little bit, but you know what? If you understand the benefits of something, you're going to want it. It's like in the old days when they didn't have air conditioning in cars. And so some of the old timers, you know, they went to buy their next car. It's like, man, I don't need air conditioning. $400 extra? You just leave that deal out. I don't want air conditioning. And the guy says, let me just drive you around the block. You know, it's the middle of summer, everybody's sweating. They got their second shirt on of the day. And the guy says, just get in here. Roll the windows up. What are you, crazy? Roll the windows up? It's the middle of summer. Roll those windows up. All of a sudden, he turns on that little $400 apparatus, and it starts blowing cold air. The guy starts picturing himself, I could live here. We really don't need a house. I could just live here. Wife and the kids could have the back seat. And so you're driving around the block, and it's like, man, I see the benefits. Are you there? I see the benefits. You'll pay the price. If you see the benefits, you'll pay the price. Now, when I stand up here and say wisdom is the principal thing, that could just be a bunch of religious jargon in some people's head. Wisdom is the principal thing. But if you could see the benefits of it, then maybe you'll be willing to pay the price to walk in it. And there is a price to be paid. Write this down. The price is called obedience. Obedience. Proverbs 13. I'm going to fly through these, so stay with me. I'm going to go very fast. This is Bible drill time. Write the references down. Mark them in your Bible. And I just want to go boom, boom, boom. Look at the benefits here. Proverbs 13. Look at verse 14. I'm just selecting some verses and passages that really pick up on this idea. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 14. It says, the law of the wise is a fountain of life. How many of you would like a fountain of life? To depart from, underline this, the snares of death. So what will wisdom do for you? Wisdom will give you life and help you escape the snares of death. Well, what's a snare? A snare is a little trap. A snare is a little trap. And it's got bait in it. Looks good. Oh boy, she looks good. She's hot. I think I want a relationship with her. Why? Do you know her? Don't know her. Just know she looks good. You don't know there's a hook in there that might get you. It says, the law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Go to chapter 4, Proverbs 4. Bible drill time. Proverbs chapter 4. We looked at this earlier, but I just want to highlight it once again. Proverbs 4, look at verse 8. And I hope you're making a list of the benefits of wisdom. Proverbs 4, verse 8. Exalt her, referring to wisdom. She shall, underline this, promote thee. Wisdom brings promotion. She shall bring thee to honor. Underline that. Wisdom will bring you to a place of honor, influence, respect, significance. When thou dost embrace her, she shall give to thy head an ornament of grace. Underline that. You'll have grace operating in your life. Verse 9, grace. A crown of glory. That is a kingly, queenly rulership level. Wisdom will bring you to that. Hang a left and go to chapter 3, Proverbs 3. You learning something today? Wisdom is the principal thing. Proverbs 3, go with me to verse 13. Oh, I already like it. Happy. Everybody say happy. Now, you know, if it says sad is the person who finds wisdom, I mean, come forward if you'd like to receive that. Nobody wants that. Happy is the man that rides in air conditioning. Look at verse 13. Happy is the man, underline this, that finds wisdom. And the man that gets understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise, I want you to underline this, of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. Everybody say gold. Everybody say silver. Everybody say rubies. Now come on, quit being religious on me. If I had a huge pile up here of gold bars and silver and all types of precious stones, and then I had over there a Bible. Some of y'all know what you should do. Somebody says, I'll die for both of them. Here's the point. Did you know that if you took all of that and translated the gold, the silver, and the rubies and everything into money, and you put it in your account so you could finally spend it, did you know that that has a lifespan that one day will run out? At some point it will be exhausted. If you don't exhaust it, if you leave it to your kids, they probably will exhaust it. But it one day will be exhausted. Now watch this. Did you know if you have God's wisdom, it is perpetual regenerating? God will show you how to make the money you need for your project. God will show you how to live in a way that never runs out. Never runs out. So wisdom has the ability to supersede gold, silver, and rubies. No wonder it is to be desired. If we had that pile up here, people would be salivating for it. They would be dreaming about it. I know none of you ever play the lotto, and you never give any thought to what you might do if you struck it rich, because you're not like that. You would rather sit around thinking about how wonderful God's wisdom is in your life. Verse 16. Well, I didn't finish verse 15. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things, underline this, all the things that thou canst desire. So you say, well, I'm not really impressed with gold and silver. I'm into hot rods. Maybe that's your thing, you know. I go to all the hot rod shows, or I go to the boat shows, or I'll tell you what I'm into. I'm into this or that. Anything you can desire, according to God, He says, it's not even close to the value of wisdom. Verse 16, here are some of the benefits. Length of days. I'd kind of like that, wouldn't you? Well, what's the difference between length of days and length of years? Or number of years? In other words, He's going to help your day be more productive. If you walk in God's wisdom, you'll have the same number of hours. You've got 24 hours. You can't extend that. But He'll help you get more done in that time frame. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. So watch this. Underline that in verse 16. Yes, wisdom will take you to riches and honor. So God's not saying you don't need the stuff. Can I just pull the Jason Peebles paraphrase on you? He's not saying you don't need the stuff. He says, I know you need the stuff, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the stuff shall be added to you. Verse 16, riches and honor. Verse 17, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. You know, you can't put a price tag on peace. Did you know that if we could bottle peace, we could be billionaires? Billionaires, I said. It'd be more valuable than what Bill Gates has invented through Microsoft. If you could literally put peace in a bottle or a tablet, there are people on this earth that would pay any price to take that. Verse 18, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. Now, I want to point something out to you, and I hope that you'll follow me. In verse 13, it says, finds wisdom. Would you mark that somehow? How many of you realize some people find wisdom? But look at verse 18, it says, lay hold upon her. There's another level. Some people find it, but they never take it. Verse 18 says, lay hold upon her. And notice also verse 18 says, happy is everyone that what? Retaineth her. You know, some people come into a message like this and they'll sit in a service and they'll hear about wisdom and something begins to flutter in them, and it's called revelation knowledge. They begin to see a glimpse of what it can be. They find it. They discover it. But they won't follow through and take hold of it and say, you know what, I need to go home and study that. I need to go home. I need to start praying regularly. Lord, give me your wisdom, as it says in James. That ought to be an utterance that you make every day of your life. Lord, give me more wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom on raising my children. I mean, I know some principles, I've accumulated facts, but Lord, give me wisdom to apply that rightly. Lord, I need wisdom in my finances. Lord, I need wisdom as our church develops and grows. Lord, I need wisdom on my job. I need wisdom. How many of you need more wisdom? Start praying that every single day. God wants to give you wisdom. So He says in verse 13, you find it. Verse 18 says, you lay hold on it. And verse 18 says, you must now do what? Retain it. Retain it. Go to chapter 8. Quickly, Proverbs 8. I want to just hit a couple more highlights. Proverbs 8. Go to verse 11. Similar passage, but some additional insights. You know, Billy Graham said this. He said that one of the things he's done, you know, it's 31 Proverbs, and so most months have 30 or 31 days, other than February. And he said that he made it a habit in his life that whatever day that was, like today is the 16th or the 18th, he said that he'd read Proverbs 18. Next day, Proverbs 19, he worked, and he said, I did that all through my life. They were asking him, what could you attribute your success to? And he basically was very humble about it. He said, well, God, I can't really take the credit. But he said, one thing I did do is I would read Proverbs over and over and over. And he said, Proverbs helped me, equipped me to learn how to get along with others. You know, some people are very smart people and have a lot of talent in their life, but they can't get along with anybody. They can't get along with their wife, get along with their husband. They move from job to job. Why? Because the whole world won't cooperate with them. Well, hello, if you're the only common denominator, maybe I ought to look at you. Proverbs 8, verse 11. For wisdom is better than rubies. Everybody say better. Everybody say better. And all the things that thou mayest be desired are not to be compared to it. Verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find out the knowledge of witty inventions. I want you to underline that. God will give you strategies, plans. Now, here's how most people pray. Most people pray, Lord, I'm in a jam. I'm going to kind of paraphrase this. Lord, I'm in a jam, and Lord, I really need you to get me out of the jam. Here's how we should be praying. Lord, would you give me a strategy on how to get out of this situation and stay out? Most people are interested in the instantaneous miracle, and God says, I'm really more interested in blessing. And I want you to write that thought down. Blessing is more powerful than miracle. Blessings are more powerful than miracles. Why do we say that? Well, miracles are important, and we are not in any way diminishing that. Actually, I have a great desire to see more miracles in the body of Christ. You know, I want to see people physically healed more frequently. We need to see that. But if people are going to mistreat their bodies and God heals them and they turn right around and live the same lifestyle, then they might end up in the same situation. They've not understood blessing. And so the life of blessing is more powerful than just miracles that come and bail you out. Verse 13, Proverbs 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. You need to underline that there about pride and arrogancy, because you know what? You'll never have the wisdom of God when you're full of pride. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the... Verse 14, what will wisdom bring you? Counsel. Look at verse 14. Counsel is mine, sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule. It'll help you to rule and reign in life. Look at verse 15 and 16. Rule and reign in life. Verse 17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. So I'm like, you're going to have to seek it. It's not just casually, well, you know, Lord, if you want to give me some more wisdom, I'll take it. We're talking about hungering. We're talking about thirsting. Lord, I need you. I am desperate for you. I am lost without you. We sing that song. Verse 18, riches and honor are with me. Somebody say amen. I'm claiming that one. I'm claiming verse 18. If you don't claim it, I'm going to get yours. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold. My revenue than choice silver. I lead, underline it, here's a benefit. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill, whose I, wisdom will fill your treasures. Now that's in your Bible. That's in the Baptist Bible. That's in the Methodist Bible. That's in the Roman Catholic Bible. That's in the UFO, Unidentified Faith Object, You're Not Quite Sure What You Are Yet Bible. God's wisdom will fill your treasuries. I want you to write five things down very quickly as we end here. I want to give you five steps on how to get God's wisdom. Five simple steps on how to get God's wisdom. By the way, let me just kind of orient you to next week. This has been kind of breaking ground on wisdom. Next week, we're going to spend the entire time on how to have the spirit of wisdom in your life. So we've been dissecting what is wisdom, looking at the benefits of wisdom, and I'm going to give you some keys here on how to get God's wisdom started in your life. But remember, the goal is not to just help you have situational wisdom. That is important, and that's a good start. But God wants you to become a person who has a spirit of wisdom on them, so that every time you come to a situation, you know what God would do. Other people come to you, and you don't give them your opinion. You give them what God would say about it. And you are a person now with a spirit of wisdom operating in your life. Number one, the first key to get God's wisdom. Number one, submit yourself and your decisions 100% to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. There's no other place to start. Number one, submit yourself and your decisions 100% to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You say, well, brother, I've been saved for 10 years. Are you submitted 100% to the Lord? Are you just wanting God to fix your deal? Or is your life submitted to God? Not my will, but thy will be done. So we even have Christians who are not fully submitted, and that is to the Lordship of Christ. If you're not walking with Christ, let me say this, because it's very possible there could be someone here today or someone that will listen to this message in the future. And you say, well, you know, I just hadn't done the God thing yet. I'm just waiting until, you know, I've had my fun and sowed my seed. You know what? You don't have any days promised. You don't have any days promised. I'll never forget when I was in Kansas, one of the last times I was in Kansas ministering, and there had been a big party going on that week, and there was a carload of cheerleaders who had pulled out, and it was harvest season, and these big 18-wheelers were running up and down the two-lane roads in Kansas. And the carload of cheerleaders just pulled out in front of them. And I happened to come to the community. And the reason it was so shocking, this community only had like 2,500 people in the whole community. Everybody knew everybody. And here I come in on the heels of this. I want you to know, it wasn't God's desire that that happened. But after that, people's hearts were very much turned toward God. A lot of people made decisions for Christ. But this carload of girls pulled out, and that truck just flattened that vehicle. Killed every one of them. I don't know what their spiritual condition was, but you know, it's very possible. It's like, one day I'll get committed to God. Oh, one day I'll do the God thing. You need to realize that you are so lost and desperate without God. I don't care if you are comfortable in a home and you have a nice job. You are just a breath away from destruction. You are just a breath away from destruction without God. And you need to say, man, I need to submit to God. I got to get committed to God. There's no friend that I have that's worth missing God about. There's no pleasure in this world that's worth missing God about. I need God. Everybody say, I need God. Number two, once you've come to that place in your life, then you're ready for wisdom. In fact, you will not get wisdom if you're haughty and proud, because God resists the proud. But number two, the second thing you do is you pray for wisdom. That's very simple. A lot of people are not doing that. Pray for wisdom. I'll give you a reference, but we won't turn there. Write this down. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That gives to all, here's the good news, that gives to all men liberally. Hallelujah. Not just a little dabble, do you? He'll give you a bunch of wisdom. So you submit to God, then you start praying for wisdom. How many of you will say, Pastor Jason, I'm going to start praying for wisdom on a regular basis in my life? I want to see your hands. How many of you are serious about this? I mean, on your job, you business people, start praying for wisdom instead of trying to figure it out yourself. Number three. The third way you're going to get wisdom is meditation in God's Word. Meditation in God's Word. How do we know that? Write these references down. We won't turn there, but 2 Timothy 3:15 says, for all Scripture will make you wise unto salvation. Joshua 1:8 says that you're to meditate in God's Word, and it'll help you to be prosperous and deal wisely in life. You'll be successful in life. So we know there's a connection between God's Word and wisdom, don't we? Certainly there is. You can't even accumulate the right facts unless you have the Bible. And so you meditate in God's Word. The fourth key to getting God's wisdom. One word, write it down, association. You have to associate with wisdom. Most people in life associate with fools. How many of you know the world has no shortage of fools? I will give you another insight. In the church world, there's no shortage of fools. And so, write this little footnote down. I personally believe that you will never rise higher than those that you choose to associate with. If you hang with losers, you're going to be a loser. You hang with people that don't have anything and don't ever expect to have anything, then that's probably the... But you don't make them your best friends in life. And so you find somebody that has more wisdom than you. You young people, listen to me. It is so hard for young people to get hold of this. Write this verse down, Proverbs 13, verse 20. He that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I mean, if you hang around with party animals, you will probably be a party animal. If you hang around with fornicators and adulterers, that's probably the direction you'll go in. If you hang around people who love to drink alcohol and get drunk and lose control of their life, that's the direction you will probably go in. But if you finally wake up, everybody say, wake up.
Wake up.
Everybody say, wake up.
Wake up.
You start looking down the road a little bit and say, what do I want in life? I want to associate with people who are successful, happy, blessed. Their life is working. They just don't have a bunch of intellectual, scriptural facts they can quote at you. I tell you, so many people can just tell me Bible verses, but their life isn't working. Wisdom will come through association. Now, I want to add one other thing to that. And don't take the extreme on this. I do believe there's a place for groups where, and my daddy greatly benefited from Alcoholics Anonymous, where, you know, people get together and talk about their problems together. Or, you know, a divorced person gets together with a divorced. You can draw strength, but there must come a time where your association is not based on your problem. Your association shifts and begins to circle around God and His strength. Because if you always stay around your problem, you'll never grow beyond that. Association. Did you know that some of you in this auditorium, and this may be where God's going today, you need to break off some ungodly associations that you have. You're wondering why things aren't working. You're associated with the wrong people. You got to give up some friendships. You say, well, that's going to be tough. I told you there was a price to pay for wisdom. It's called obedience. Number five, the last one I want to give you. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit operate in your life will bring you wisdom. You say, how in the world do they bring you wisdom? Did you know one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is called the Word of Wisdom? What does that mean? What is a Word of Wisdom? It's when God inspires you with what I call it the God idea, the God strategy. You get the plan, Stan. You're facing this deal and you don't know what to do and you cry out to God, God, give me wisdom. You pray in the Spirit perhaps, or you begin to prophesy a little bit to yourself. You begin to activate and stir up the gifts of the Spirit, and before you know it, you've got a plan that's formed in you. You may not have known it, but that's called a word of wisdom. A word of wisdom is manifesting in your life. A word of wisdom is the beginning. I now know what to do. I now know what to do. The gifts of the Holy Spirit will help you tap in to God's wisdom in your life. Isn't that practical? Now, as I said, we're going to leap from here, and really this could be an entire series in of itself, but we're going to leap from here next week. Don't miss next week. We are going to be talking about, and listen, I'm going to be laying hands on folk who want the Spirit of wisdom to come upon them and remain upon them. Amen? Let's stand to our feet together.